1 John chapter 2, it's just great to have visitors, and we love that you're here. I remind folks, what I do is we just go through the Bible verse by verse, and I try to do a two-thirds, one-third, two-thirds New Testament, one-third Old Testament. Sunday morning, we're going through the book of 1 John. Sunday night, we're going through the book of Hebrews. Tonight, we will likely finish Hebrews 2, maybe even bleed over a little bit into Hebrews 3. And then on Wednesday night, we're doing the Old Testament. And so we're in the book of Genesis. We'll begin the chapter 3 in the book of Genesis this Wednesday. So I just, I love it. It helps keep discipline with me. And I pray it'll help you learn that the Bible's not as difficult as you think it is. There are difficult spots, without a doubt. But as we just take it verse by verse and walk through it, I think and trust that it'll be a blessing to you. Today we're in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Simple title of the world, don't, title of the message, don't love the world. So let's read this passage. Then I'm just going to do a little review where we've come from, and I'll do it in 2 minutes, I trust. And so let's just read these three verses. Now again, the book of 1 John's written to believers, to those that are born again, to those that have truly believed, not just mental assent, but with their heart, with their innermost being. It's a commitment. It's a surrender. It's that I am no longer mine. I believe on what Christ has done, on his work on the cross, on his suffering that resulted in his death, and then he rose again 3 days later. My faith, my hope, my trust is in Jesus, and then he is changing me. You see, it's Jesus will change you. You don't have to change yourself, but he will. So it's written to those that you are born again and that you are saved. You are then a follower of Christ. All of those are synonymous terms. And so this is what it says to believers. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Just a quick review of where we've been. And the review is keys to fellowship with the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And our fellowship is with God, God the Father. We can only be made right with God through the Son, through his Son, Jesus Christ. But fellowship, again, if you're saved, it's permanent. If you are born again, it's permanent. Now, again, I caution this every time that you better examine yourself whether you're truly saved. Because you may think you're saved, and then if you conclude, well, I'm saved, so it's permanent. If you're not saved, it'd be sure horrible to claim a permanent thing you don't have. And so, but if you're saved, you know the Lord, you want to do what's right. What makes a Christian feel lost is sin. What breaks our fellowship, not the relationship, but our fellowship. We're going to see six keys in the sixth being this morning that I've just given an overview. Keys to fellowship with the Father. To believers. What will mess our lives up? What will get in the way of my serving the Lord effectively? What will get in the way of me honoring Christ the way I want to? First thing is, I must walk in the light. Keys to fellowship, walking in the light. I will either walk in the light or I'll walk in darkness. There's all kinds of terms in the Bible. We could say that's abiding in Christ. It is truly immersing, walking in the light. It's walking in the Spirit versus the flesh. The Bible uses all kinds of terms, but this is key. O believer, are we walking in the light of Christ? Are we truly immersing and our lives would be about Christ? If not, then we risk that fellowship being broken. Second, confession of sin. That's in chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O Christian, yes, we still need to confess our sins, not because we're worried about going to hell, but because we need to make it right with him, the fellowship. When we're saved, all our sins are forgiven, past, present, future. But those sins that were future, I still need to confess, because if I keep it in my heart, it'll break that fellowship. The Lord says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. Unconfessed sin. And so you can't confess what you're not aware of, so God's not up there going, he didn't confess this. And we can sin ignorantly. No, what the Bible's talking about is you know when you've sinned. You know when you're wrong. Then make it right with God. Get it right. Why would we wait a day? Why would we wait a week? And every one of us have done that. And what we do at the end, we say, that was foolish. And we sin, turn from it, make it right with God, and restore that sweet fellowship. Again, if you're saved, you do not lose the relationship. But all the fellowship can be broken with sin. Third, obedience. You see that in chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Disobedience is sin, but the way that we just enjoy him and honor him and delight in him, and it's just so cool. You know, I mean, I keep telling you this. It's so cool to be a grandpa, but papa is the best word. How many grandpas here are called papa? Oh, just one. That is the best. I'm sorry, you grandpas. Papa is where it's at. And so, I mean, you know, it's just Elia, she's just a joy. We got Callum coming any minute. You know, so Rachel wanted it last week, so man, she's just busting, you know. I mean, I think Callum waved to us the other day from her stomach, and he's ready to come. And so it is, but you know, what I love about Elia, she wants to please. Just wants to please. Now, she wants to live for Elia too, right? So she has got this down, you know. So when she's not allowed, when Rachel tell her to do something, she's not allowed to say no. So she's learned that. She's learned that. So she doesn't say no. If she says no, get a little spanking. You know, so now she says, just a second, honey. That's what she says. In a little bit, honey. You know, if you add honey, you know, honey goes with everything, I guess she thinks. And so now they're in this dilemma. And so obviously, Rachel or Josh, that must be Rachel, must say, in just a second, honey. And so now Elia thought, not saying no anymore. But I don't want to, you know, so just obedience. But she loves to obey because she loves to please her mama and papa. I want you to know this. You see, this isn't bondage. If you're saved, I want to please my papa. Oh, but I've got this flesh that doesn't. But it's what'll break the fellowship is disobedience. Number four, loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. We talked that in a lot last week, right? Just loving one another. And the reason why the Bible encourages us to do that is because we all are difficult, right? We can be a pill sometimes, right? And so what the Bible says is, you know what? Love George. Yeah, I told you, sitting in the second row. And Kim's been talking to me about all of your issues. And and so, you know this, though? You know why I should love you? Because Christ loved me. And I am way more difficult than you. And every sin that I sin is against him. And he's loved me, George. And you see, if I consistently remember how good God's been to me and how much he loves me, you're not difficult to love at all. I'm the most difficult person in this room to love, but Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, and what God wants, he says this, love your brothers, love your sisters, love them, and he doesn't say only when they're lovable. And so that'll be important. And then I briefly talked about this. I'll talk about this much more as we go. Passionate pursuit to know God fully. Passionate pursuit to know God fully. We saw this when we looked at the three stages of maturity. You know, we looked at little children, young men, and fathers. And the fathers, you'll see this. Look at verse 13. You'll see this in chapter 2, verse 13. It says, I write unto you, little children. Verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, right at the beginning, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Let me tell you this. Do not forget this in the middle of this message this morning. Do not forget this. The goal, the focus, the need for every single person in here is to know God. To know him fully. To know him is to love him. To love him is to obey him. And it's all about knowing him better. That ought to be our pursuit. That ought to be our passion. That ought to be our love, is to know the God of the Bible. Not just to assume we know the God of the Bible. Not to get tired of where we're at knowing the God of the Bible. It's this, understanding this. I will tell you, I'm a pygmy. I'm an infant in my knowledge of God. I want to know him because I know this. Knowing him will be where victory's at. And I want to love that. I want to pursue that. I do not want to assume that I know him. I know him enough to be saved, and that is glorious. But I want to tell you this, Junior, and I love this, you're paying great attention. He's way better than you think. He's way better than you think. See, we have negative thoughts about God. I do. Something goes wrong, I blame God. Oh, I don't usually say that directly. But it's not his fault. Evil doesn't come from God. Only good comes from God. We're the creators of evil. We generate that with sin. And so I want you to know this, to know him. And then finally this morning, what we'll talk about, this is new. Don't love the world. You want to break fellowship. Break fellowship with God. Now, this is a dilemma. So some of you may think, 1 John 2:15, just look at it with me here. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then look at verse 17. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so I want you to understand this. I'm going to make a statement, and it's a hypothesis. When the Bible says love not the world, I want to tell you this. I'm convinced of this. Believers can love the world. It'll destroy your life. Most of my life, when you preach things, it changes your life. Most of my life, I've used 1 John 2:15 to say, if you love the world, how can you not have the love of the Father in you? Well, I'll tell you, the greatest thing we need, Steve, is the love of the Father in us. Because he is love. God is love. You want to diminish, and I would even suggest extinguish, the love of God in you, it's love of the world. And so I'm going to run with that hypothesis to say today that says this, that, oh, believer, what is it that will cause us to be ineffective for the glory of God, that will cause us not to honor him? It's love of the world. And we all have some of that in us. This is a difficult message for me to preach. I do not stand here saying, I've got this down, follow me. Love not the world. I want to tell you this early on, and you'll hear it at the end. This message isn't to lead you to a bunch of rules that say, I can't do this, 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 and then move up into a mountain and just pray. The Bible says we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And so monks tried that, and that's not what this message is about. This message is about this. We will either love God or we'll love the world. What it means by loving the world is the world system. And so you'll either love God or you'll love the world. And if you'll allow me to, we have one love tank. And when we love the world, we love God less. And the less we love God, the less effective we will be. And most of us won't even know it. I want to give a quick outline because I'm going to preach a little bit differently this morning, but I want to give you an outline for those that like outlines. And so I'm going to ask a series of questions this morning, but let me just give you a simple outline. Don't love the world. That's what verse 15 says. It says this, you can't love the world and have the love of the Father. That's just simply that. You can't love the world and have the love of the Father. You can't. The Bible tells us this, you know, that no man can serve two masters. For he either will love the one and hate the other, or cling to the one and love the other. You cannot have two masters. That's what 1 John 2:15 says. Here's what it says in verse 16. All the world has to offer is just three things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let me just cover these quickly. Lust of the flesh. The flesh is your body. Whenever you hear me in preaching and I talk about the flesh, I'm talking about your body. So your flesh never wants anything to do with God. Your flesh has need for water, for food, for relationship. Your flesh will never want to read the Word of God. Your flesh will pervert things that are good. The physical relationship in marriage was created by God, and it is good. But your flesh doesn't want to abide by the boundaries that God has set up. Your flesh will want whatever it wants, when it wants, with no limits. And so your flesh are these the appetites of the body. It doesn't mean they're all wrong. You know, you overindulge in sleep. That'd be sin. And your flesh just wants to lay around. There's a work to do with God. Your flesh wants to do everything against God. So don't be so discouraged when you wake up tomorrow and you don't want to do what's right. You know that's the flesh. If you're saved, it's the flesh. Lust of the eyes. What you see. And really, if you just sum it up this, the lust of the eyes is to covet. Is to be focused on stuff, others, things, and it could be others. You know, the Bible says this when it talks about it in Exodus 20. You know, don't cover your neighbor's wife. Don't cover your neighbor's animals. Don't cover your neighbor's anything. And just stop always looking over the fence. Be content. Your eyes. We'll see this as we're in Genesis chapter 3 this Wednesday. The devil used the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life with Eve. The lust of the flesh. She saw that the fruit, that it was good to eat. She could eat of all the trees, of all the fruit in the garden. But you know how it was. You can't eat that one. And she's like, that's the most tasty. And she had never tasted it. She wanted what she couldn't have. Lust of the eyes. The Bible says she saw that it was good and pleasant to the eyes. There was lust of the eyes. And then the devil got her with the pride of life. She thought it would make her wise and be like God. Oh, and it destroyed her. You see, and the devil hasn't changed. That's all the world has. That's all the world has to offer. It's sin, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we eat it up, and it'll destroy us from being effective for God. And here's why it matters. Remember verse 17. The world will pass away. Why does it matter? Because there's a reckoning day one day. Why does it matter? Because all of us will answer to God. Those that are lost, you will stand before Him at what's called the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation chapter 20. You will be judged according to your sins. Most people that tell me when I ask them, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? They say, well, yeah, I think so. When I ask them, they say, why should you go to heaven? They say, because I'm good. Well, one day they will be judged according to their works, and they will find out their goodness was not good enough. That's why there's only one that can remove my sins. It's not my good works. It's not my goodness. It's the goodness and the good works and the power of God through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus. Do you love our singing? Our singing, I mean, it's like, Jesus is the only thing that gives me worth. That is not discouraging to me. I have worth in Christ. And it's in Christ that my worth is. You see, when I fail, I look to Christ and I say, I'm so glad I'm yours. He calls us worms in Isaiah. That's a little insulting. And so, but I'm glad to be a saved worm, aren't you? And so why it matters, why is this battle, and this is a battle. I don't think there's been a more difficult time to not be distracted than in the 21st century. We are bombarded with distractions. And what I want to tell you today, this is important. I've got so much to tell you today. I probably should make this two messages, but just buckle up. We're going to be here a while. No, not that long. It's this. I want you to understand this. It doesn't mean that when you're distracted by the world that you're in some dark, sleazy evil. It can be. The devil would love you to do dark, sleazy evil, but what the devil would love, he'd love you to love the world and things that aren't evil. He just wants you to love the world and be distracted and become useless for the kingdom of God. So it doesn't have to be deep, dark sin. So I want you to throw that out of your mind. Now, some of us, some of you are involved in things you ought not to be, and you know it's wrong. Make that right with God. But many of us, we're just stinking distracted, and it's not evil. You know, Facebook is not evil in and of itself. How much time are you on Facebook? Social media. Social media is not evil in and of itself. God is not opposed to us having rest. I will tell you, the true rest is in Christ. I don't think we'll have Facebook in heaven. We'll have Christ, and He'll be enough. And so, again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not asking you to leave here this morning and try to abide by a bunch of rules. Here's the key this morning. Loving Christ. Loving God. And making Him your passionate pursuit. Why does it matter? The world will pass away. And what matters is doing the will of God. Look in verse 17. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'm going to just go into just a brief discussion here. I'm always thinking on the state of Christianity at Hope Baptist Church, at Fairfield, and what I see in America. And I love that your dad, Chris, encouraged me about some good things going on in other parts of the world. I love hearing that because it keeps me a little bit more hopeful. We need to see that here, don't we? But it's this. Here's what I see. And so I just want you to, I observe a Christianity in America. Let's just say conservative Christianity. Let's just say Baptist Christianity. That's really what I know, right? So I hang around with a lot of Baptists. And now I'll guarantee you, don't let one thing I say let you throw the whole message out today, right? I have a gift. I do that all the time. Just listen and let God just deal with your heart. But you're not going to disagree with most of what I say. You can find something you can disagree with. That's fine. But you're going to agree with me, and we're going to go and say, and I've told you not to do this. Don't tell me good message. I'll believe you. Just say God used your message, and then God will get the glory. I don't want you to compliment me. It's not about me. It's about Christ. But it's this. Most of you will leave today and go, it's a good message. Because it's a Bible message, right? But it's this. Most will agree with me. I hear Christians speak. I hear them speak all the time. I'm like, well, I agree with that. I can go to a bunch of churches that I think are useless. And they'll be unnamed this morning. And I can hear things and I'll go, well, I agree with that. So I don't think in Christianity, you know, in my world of Baptists, I'll just take it that there. I don't think there's going to be a lot of disagreement. But I don't see effective Christianity in my life. In my life, a mirror. I don't see the Christianity that the New Testament talks about in my life. And so here's what I have to admit this morning. What is the issue? And I will tell you, the issue is I love the world too much. How much should I love the world? Zero. So too much is any. Again, I'll tell you, the key is not to start eliminating it, but start focusing on Christ and let the love of Christ squeeze everything else out. So I see this all the time. Christians, I hear them speak publicly, and I'm like, man, that's good. I like it. And then we're not bearing much fruit. You're going to see that in just a second. Is if we are right with God, we will bear much fruit. It's not exceptional. It's not that, oh, that person bore much fruit. If I'm right with God, I will bear much fruit, because that is the will of God. Do you see in verse 17? He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so I say, well, what gives? I will tell you, I examine my own life in this passage. I love the world more than I love Christ. And I'm encouraged to have this thought. I love God the way I should, Randall, and the way he deserves, and it'll be my great delight. You see, I always win when I love him. Then I will bear much fruit. This verse just became more meaningful to me in this passage. This verse was always, and I preached it when we went through Matthew. Matthew chapter 23, look at that verse on the screen. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. And this was always a mystery to me. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That was the seat of teaching in the synagogues. The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe. That observe and do. And I'm like, what? What is he saying? Listen to the Pharisees. Now, particularly when they sit in Moses' seat. Listen to what they say. But he said, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. I feel like I am that verse when I preach this message this morning, and I do not love God the way he deserves. And when I see the ineffectiveness in my life, it's not God's fault, Damien. It's my lack of love. I love what we're going through in Sunday school, Todd. One day, Todd, I'll get it. No, Todd's worried about he's going too slow. I need him to slow down because I need to focus on the gospel, focus on Jesus Christ. I need him to be my passion. I want him to be my passion, but I want it to be from my heart, not by some rule book, not by something I just wake up and say, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. I want to wake up and I want to say, you are the joy of my life. Oh, I want to serve you today. What would you like me to do today? But I stand here and I think God would say, do as he says. Don't do as he does. And my concern is, I think that's modern day American Christianity. We have the right words. But when we leave this building, how dominant is Jesus Christ in our life? How dominant is the world? And then we wonder why we're not effective. You see, don't be discouraged by this message. I am super encouraged. Now, you're like, why? Because God tells us the key, Jeff. It's loving him. Just a quick few questions I want to walk you through. What is the key to life? Let me tell you what I believe the key to life is. Loving God and loving others. That's pretty simple. Loving God and loving others. You know, I love this. Todd said this a few weeks ago. And so he said, you know, the Bible instruction is simple, but simple doesn't mean easy. So the key to life is loving God and loving others. Now I want you to understand this. Jesus was clear. You cannot truly love God unless you have surrendered to his son. Most people are not atheists in America. They say, I believe in God. Well, Jesus said this, if you reject the son, then you've rejected the father. You see, it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just a head knowledge, you know who he is. Oh, but you walk with him. Do you love the song? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. That's a personal relationship. I'm not saying he talks to me audibly. That's why I have a wife. Bad joke. And it is, he talks to my heart through his word and the Holy Spirit. Life is about loving God and loving others. Let me give you a few scriptures just in case you were wondering. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. They came up to Jesus, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Okay, I love this. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. You see, that's what will change my life. Loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said that in one of the other gospels, strength. He said, this is the first and great commandment. If you only have one commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. With all that you are, love God. And so I won't wait till the end, but the best analogy that I have, Deb and I have been married, it'll be 36 years this December. And we dated 2.5 years. That's 2 years longer than I wanted to, but she was still in high school. So she made me wait until she graduated. And so you're like, oh, I can't believe that. I robbed the cradle. No doubt I didn't want her mind to be fully developed. She's regretted it ever since. But I will tell you this. She was all I thought about. She dominated my days, and I only saw her 2 hours a day. But I lived every day for those 2 hours. She would come out in her car, and she would have something in her car every day. July 26th is our first date. Every 26th of every month, she would have something special. Then finally, she told me, she said, stop buying me clothes because only a woman can buy clothes for a woman. And she felt like she was obligated to wear the apparently loathsome things that I bought for her in clothes. So she was kind to me, so I stopped buying her clothes. But I was dominated with her. I couldn't not think about her. I was going to school for her. I was working for her. I loved every minute that I was with her. I remember the first time she held my hand. I mean, it was better than July 4th fireworks. Like, you know, she holds my hand now. I'm like, you're sweaty. And I will tell you, it's why God tells the church at Ephesus, you've left your first love. I know this, when somebody's born again, they don't argue with me when I show them what the Bible says to do. They go, okay, I'll do it. You know what happens as we mature in the Lord? We become more resistant. because we've left our first love. You see, that's the great and singular issue of the 21st century, is that we've left our first love. And the reason we can leave our first love is because we've forgotten how much He loves us. We cannot talk about the love of God enough. Oh, how good He is. And if I really understood how much He loves me, then it would make a difference. I will tell you, my wife, I love this time, not fully of these last 4 weeks, but I have seen her love demonstrated for me, and it has drawn me to her. Oh, she still gets on my nerves. She's gifted. But I will tell you this. I've seen a woman, and I remember those vows, in sickness and in health. And her love has shown for me. You see, and it draws me to her. I'm still a jerk. I don't want to be, but I feel worse about it. You see, now that's a big deal, you know, because you can get calloused after 35 years. I don't want to be callous to my wife. Most of all, I don't want to be callous to the Lord. You see, and I said, what is the key to life? It's loving God. I want to just show you just a couple other verses. 1 Corinthians 13, you know this verse. Let's just read it quickly. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What he's saying this, it's just a bunch of clanging if you have not the charity, that sacrificial giving love. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and wouldn't we all want that? And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I want you to understand this. Here's the message of the Bible. We can do everything right, and if we don't have love, and I want to suggest this, love to God. Don't make things more complicated with this message. The first and great commandment is that we love God. And the second that is likened to that is that we love our neighbor. But I will tell you this, Steve, if I truly love God, you will benefit. I cannot love God and not love you. So I'm lying to myself if I say I love God. That's exactly what we've been studying. If I love God and hate you, that's impossible. And then finally, I've got one more verse I want you to see. I know I've been on this. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know why I can become unloving? Because of sin. And the worst person that I become unloving to is God. I don't think about this enough. Love not the world. See, I have two choices. I will either love God or I will love the world. I want to ask you just a few more questions, and I'm not going to preach this whole message. Bummer. What is the victorious life? I want to give you a statement of the victorious life. Here's the victorious life. And so I want to ask you, are you pursuing this? Is my life about this? This is the victorious life, and I'll show you in the scriptures. Bringing glory and honor to God by loving Christ, abiding in Him, obeying Him, and bearing much fruit. That is the victorious life. I love discussions. You all can push on me, challenge me. I want to make it better. I want to tell you this. When I wake up and when I review my day at the end of the day, this is how I should review my day. Did I bring honor and glory to God by loving Christ? And then I need to be specific. How did I love Christ? Remember, He said this. When you've done it unto the least of these, when you go visit those that are in prison, when you give clothing to the poor, right? Closet of Hope. It comes from the heart of loving God. Do you know why I'm doing Closet of Hope? Because I believe it came from you loving God, Nassim and Ram. You know, I could have this thing and say, they don't need clothes. But you know what I know? Those thoughts come out of being born out of the love of God. And I am 100% believing in it, wholeheartedly behind it, and God will use it. Because when we love Him, He will use whatever we do to honor Him. It matters. What is the victorious life? I want you to look at it again. I want you to review everything about your life, because this is what matters when all of time is done, bringing glory and honor to God. And I believe it's by loving Christ, abiding in Him, obeying Him, and bearing much fruit. Let me show you the scriptures. Many of you that are here with me often, you see this. John 15, one of my favorite chapters. In fact, it is my favorite chapter of the Bible. Jesus says this: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, when I said this, I said, what is the victorious life? I didn't mention joy, because joy is not a pursuit. Joy is the outcome. If you and I, if we really do pursue the honor and glory of God by loving Christ, abiding in him, obeying him, and bearing much fruit, I will tell you this, the joy will remain, and your joy will be full. And that's really what we want, is it not? And there is joy in serving Christ. Let me check and see how much further I'm going to go. And so I'm going to ask one more question, and then I'll be done. Can we love God and the world and be effective for God's kingdom? I have one verse. Listen to this, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and riches. And so I tell you this, can we love God and the world and be effective for God's kingdom? I think the Bible says no, but I will tell you this, my life says no. Again, what does it mean to love the world? It doesn't mean you're in debauchery. It doesn't mean you're in deep, great evil that we would call dark sin. It just means that you and I are distracted. Next week, we'll talk about what is the world, the world system. And a lot of it is not deep, gross sin. All the devil wants, Kim, is that you don't meditate on Christ, that you don't ponder the love of God, that you don't ponder how good Jesus Christ has been. And he wins. He just wants our minds. He wants our hearts. He wants us just to love something else. That's why that shocking verse that Todd made reference to in Sunday school, that Jesus said that compared to his love, you must hate mother and father and sister and brother, because your love should be so great for him, everybody else knows who comes in second place. Doesn't mean you neglect people. Doesn't mean you don't care for them. But I will tell you what will change America. But you know what I'm interested in? I need to change. Deb and I talked about this message. You know this message, you know who it's most affecting, I believe? Those that you are close. You are a blessing to me. You are a servant to me. You are a servant to our church. And most of all, you're a servant to the King. I've been humbled during these 4 weeks. You all have joyfully helped me with whatever I've needed help with. But the people that are in the most conviction, you are so close. You see, I don't know if I can take someone from the fringe to where we're talking about this morning, but if you're on the fringe this morning, why don't you just start pursuing your love for your great Savior? Don't you worry about where you're at. But I believe this. Oh, Christian, don't be satisfied. Oh, Christian, God will use you. Oh, Christian, you can bear much fruit, but we must make a choice. Will I love God? Or will I love the world? One of the things I love about getting older, maybe my broken hip was one reminder. You don't have that much time left. Like I told my mom when she was 40, I said, face it, Mom, you're on the other side of the hill. Now that she's 80, she said, well, that hill must have been a little taller than you thought. And so I'm far past that. I'm not morbid. But only one thing matters. That's the glory of Christ. I'm too worldly. I love the things of the world. I didn't say you couldn't, enjoy things. God created this world for us to enjoy. But has it turned to love? Has it turned to passionate distraction? One of the thoughts, what have you been thinking about when I've been preaching? When is he going to stop? What are you going to do this afternoon? Or could you just enjoy being reminded of something that's so key for us? Three things I was going to finish with today, I'll finish with next week. One, and they're so far down my slides. One, are you saved? If you're not saved, nothing matters. You cannot please him unless you are in Christ, and it's just simple faith, humbling yourself and admitting my sin separates me from God. My sin makes me worthy of eternal damnation. Those are rough thoughts, but they're Bible thoughts. God's not the ogre. He's the only one that could help you, and he died for you. That's beautiful. Are you saved? If you're saved, do not leave today and all of a sudden start making all these rules. That would be the mistake. There could be a place where the Bible says in Romans 14 that we ought not to make provision for the flesh. So if you're struggling with overt sin, so one of the struggles of men is lust. If you're struggling with lust, you should have a filter on your phone and you should have men that keep you accountable. If you don't, and you're struggling with it, it'll eat you like a cancer. Humble yourself and make a provision so that the flesh won't fail, even if it's not love for Christ. But don't establish a bunch of rules. That could be a choice you make. I'm never watching television ever again. I don't know if that would be a bad choice, but if it's a rule, it won't last. What you need to do is focus on Christ. Ask him to help you love him. I'm embarrassed. I pray that all the time. I say, Lord, I don't love you the way I should. Will you help me love you the way I should? My wife would be insulted if I told her that. Honey, I'm struggling to love you. Would you help me love you better? That'd be insulting, wouldn't it? You know what God says? You better believe I'll help you. Because I love you. You see, ask the Lord to help you, and I want you to leave this morning if you're saved. Oh God, help me not to think about the rules. Help me to think of Christ. His love, his care, and oh, may I love you better. When I come back the next time, may I go. It's been a better week. And I will tell you, the only way we can truly have a better week is if Christ is at the center. Let's pray.